Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The weekend starts early with Friday night NFL preseason action between the Bills and Lions. Then on Sunday, the summer hoops are scorching with the beginning of the Big Three playoffs, followed by the PBR in the Music City. Buckle up for a huge weekend on CBS. Also, our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It's time to pour a cold harp. Everyone loves John Harper, our friendly SNY insider from New York, the great columnist and baseball insider, is back on the bench. By the way, let me just say really quickly, for the guy that called before, I think the kid's name is Henry Tutu, Toto, something to that effect. He's a 6'2", 230-pound-plus freshman, I believe, from Sacramento, California. Remember the guy said he had like a Hawaiian name or something like that? I'm guessing that has to be the guy, but he's from Sacramento. And we'll see if he turns into anything. But I stand by. I hope Tennessee wins in football. But I stand by that they won't matter. I hope they matter, but I don't think that they will. At the end of the day, nobody matters in that conference except Alabama. That's all there is to it. Mr. Harper, how are you?
Good, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm turning the corner. I have to say, the Mets, very impressive tonight. Down a run in the 10th. And then somehow managed to scrape two and win the game. And Davis, you know, hit the ball into the corner and they win the game. This team just continues to pull off these big wins.
Yeah, they've got some serious mojo going. This is a team that couldn't do anything right a month or so ago. And they turned a corner and now doing everything right. They're winning these games. And they've been doing a lot of these games that went in the late innings with rallies from coming from behind, and it's really been something to watch. They've become quite a story in New York. The bullpen is finally, you know, performing, and they're getting a lot of performances from some of these younger players. So it's gonna be a wild race in that and a wild card, because a lot of these teams are winning now. It looks hard to get over the wire.
So they have won four in a row. Overall, like, remember when they were really hot and it was like 14 of 15? Do you know, like, any staggering numbers, like, since then, that, like, this run they've been on? Is there like, a couple numbers that you know on the top of your head that it's, like, you know, 24 of 30, or what is it?
Well, they got the best record in baseball since the All-Star break, 26 and 10 now. That's probably most significant. They've also got the best ERA as a staff in baseball since the All-Star break, so those are the two key numbers right there. I'm sure there's some others, especially offensively with the late-inning comebacks. But this is a team that the pitching was underperforming. The bullpen was the worst in baseball for a couple of months there in May and June. So they turned that around. They finally got Diaz. They've gotten him out of the closer role. He didn't even pitch tonight. They used about five relievers because Stroman left the game with a hamstring pull. So they used about five relievers, and Diaz didn't even pitch. So that's tells you where he stands these days. Lugo's really stepped in and done a great job as the closer. And a lot of the offensive pieces have just fallen into place. You know, it's interesting. Francona, who's a great manager, he ultimately put the winning run on base. And that run ended up coming around. Now, if Brad Hand had covered first, maybe they would have got a double play to get out of it. But Francona's ultimately worked against him. So a lot of things going right for the Mets these days.
So let me ask you, you know, you talk about best record since the All-Star break. You talk about ERA. That's all that matters, if you ask me. If you got a better record than everybody and you got the best pitching, and that means they're not giving up runs and they're holding teams to three and under every single night, and your ERA is the best in baseball, I mean, at some point, don't you think that you just have to get in? You just have to get it done. I mean, if you're playing that good, you got to be one of those two teams. You just cannot fail in this opportunity that's on their dinner table.
Yeah, you would think so. This starting rotation is that this is what they thought they were going to get from the start, with guys like DeGrom and Syndergaard and Wheeler and Max, and all those guys are pitching well now. Stroman's been pretty good since he's come over. But you're right. But there's still at least four or five teams that could get those two wild card spots. The Nationals are playing well. The Cubs are in a wild one tonight with the Giants. So I think they fell behind. It's like 11-10 or something. And the Cubs have really struggled on the road. So, yeah, I mean, the way they're pitching, I give the Mets a good shot. But I keep – I guess part of me thinks that bullpen could also kind of go back to – the way it was a month ago, because it's a lot of the same guys, so we'll see how that goes.
So, John Harper with us, the great Harp. You know, the Giants, what I'm seeing is 11-10 right now in the eighth in that wild game. But the Yankees and Hap are losing in Oakland 4-1 right now in the fourth. This is the same. It's like watching last night all over again. We were talking about him tonight, Harp, that they're just kind of, you know, Carver High said they're playing for home field, and that's something to play for. But other than that, if you pull that screen away, that there's really – these are just absolutely just trying to get to the finish line type games. Like, they look like tonight and last night, like, they don't even care.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're coasting to the division title, no doubt. I think they're 10 or 11 games ahead of the Rays. The Red Sox are out of it. But I do think they believe that home field means something. You know, it sometimes it's hard to get players motivated for that. But I think they might really believe that to beat the Astros in a 5 or 7 game series, probably 7 game, because it would probably be in the ALCS, the home field advantage would be huge. Because remember when they played in that ALCS 2 years ago, the Astros all the home teams won all the games, and
right.
The Astros. Kind of really looked like they were really affected by the noise at Yankee Stadium in games 3, 4, and 5, and then the Yankees couldn't score when they went back to Houston. So I think that will serve as some motivation, but it is hard when these teams are this far in front to keep the pedal down the whole way. I think going to L.A. for the weekend to play the Dodgers will get them jacked up again, though, that's for sure.
Do you, you know, because you're here in New York and everything, and I know you're on the Mets channel and everything like that, but in all honesty, which one do you like going to watch these days more, the Yankees or the Mets games? The Mets because of the way they're playing?
Well, yeah, there's just a lot more drama around the Mets. As bad as they were, we thought Callaway was going to get fired at some point. We thought, and then, you know, even the Mets, they probably won't admit it now, but their intention at the deadline was to trade Wheeler, and they were considering, they were taking offers for Syndergaard and Diaz, and ultimately they didn't get what they wanted to get for those guys, so they ended up holding everybody and taking Stroman on as well. They made the deal for Stroman because they thought that would raise the value for guys like Wheeler and Syndergaard. So, I don't think this was really in their plan, but it was only a week or so before that Van Wagenen admitted that his whole come-get-us strategy had turned into, yeah, they came and got us. So they had almost packed it in, and now so there's a lot of fascination in these type of stories where the Yankees, they're a great story too because they've had so many injuries and they've had guys like Urshela, Talkman, guys that nobody heard of have stepped up and played really well. But they're so far ahead now, there's no drama. So, yeah, the drama is all in Queens as opposed to the Bronx right now.
So is Callaway now pretty much guaranteed he's not going anywhere?
Yeah, he's there for the year, no doubt. I mean, even if they fall apart now, it's so late they wouldn't make a change. If they don't get there to the playoffs, I still think they might make a change in the offseason because there's still a lot of he still makes a lot of questionable moves. And he'd only have 1 year left on his deal at that point. So I could see them making a change. But if they do make it, you got to think he's coming back. So I wonder if any part of Van Wagenen regrets not making the move when they had the they could have made it and had the popular sentiment behind it. So we'll see how that goes, too.
How do you think the Braves have gone unnoticed and their manager handled that Acuna situation so well? And he's out there hitting 2-run homers tonight and – Hechevarria, whatever his name is. He's on that team now making big. He had a big home run, and he's making a name for himself there all of a sudden. That team gets no respect, no love. No one talks about him at all. Meanwhile, they just keep kicking ass.
They got a great team there. Yeah, they're going to win the division. No, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you're right. I loved what Snitker did there with Acuna. Everybody says you can't manage that way anymore. Well, he did it, and he did it the right way. He said, you know, it's we're in this thing together. You owe it to your teammates to hustle all the time. We're trying to do something big here. He said all the right things, and Acuna, to his credit, said the right things too. But it is in contrast to Callaway, who a few weeks before disciplined Rosario for not running a ball out, same type of thing, but tried basically to hide the fact with the media that he was doing it. So it just, I think if you're up front like that as a manager, you know, your clubhouse, I think, is going to respect you for it. Now, we'll see. I mean, I know these days players make so much money that a lot of people say you can't do that anymore to your stars. Well, Acuna's a star. He's a young star. But I thought it was handled really well, and then maybe it did set a tone for the Braves the rest of the way.
How about the home runs, whatever it is, 37 consecutive days with at least two home runs. It happens every day. No one stops talking about the juiced baseballs. Does it even enter your mind, or could you care less?
Now, I do think there's just too many home runs now, and I think it has taken – it's devalued the home run a little bit, you know? I mean there are games now – forget what I was watching a game that it was every run was scored on a home run, like 7-6. I just think, it's not just that, but you see swings now where the ball goes out opposite field where you just go, you know, that's not a swing that should hit a ball out of the park. It reminds me of back in the late 90s, early 2000s when the height of the steroid era. So I think they'll dial the ball back. They'll find a way to dial it back next year. I just think you want to put as much value in you can. And say, well, the home run should be a big deal when guys hit it, and it's not a big deal right now.
So, you know, Kershaw passed Koufax or caught him or he's tied with him or whatever. All I know is that since the All-Star break, he's got a 1.42 ERA. If that guy is on, do the Dodgers with that team, with what they've done and how explosive they've been and two straight World Series failures, do they finally break through and win it?
I think they do. I mean, it'll be a great series, whether it's with the Astros or the Yankees or who knows. Even the Indians with their pitching would have a shot. But I do think they'd have to be favored. I mean, you got Ryu, Kershaw, and the kid Buehler, who I think is really, really good. So you got this is they'll have the most depth they've ever had in starting rotation. Assume you can get Kershaw to October healthy, because that's been the question the last few years. But yeah, and with that offense, talk about home runs. I mean, that's the most explosive lineup in baseball. So they would be the favorite. I think they should have gone the extra mile to add a reliever at the deadline. They didn't go get your guy from the Pirates when they could have maybe. I know the Pirates are asking for a lot.
Vasquez.
But that could come back to haunt them, but that's the only real flaw they have.
So Yelich 50-30 shot, homers and stolen bases at 41-24. I think he can do it. It's only 9 homers and 6 stolen bases. Can you believe this guy?
That'd be a great feat, man. I mean, I know everybody's hitting the home runs, but when you throw in that stolen bases, nobody's putting up those kind of numbers. So, and you know, I wonder what Jeter's thinking about trading him away. I mean, they didn't know the guy was going to be this good, I guess.
Oh, my God.
They didn't get enough back for him, that's for sure.
What a nightmare decision that was. Bellinger and Trout get the MVPs from you on both sides?
Well, I think you got to consider Yelich. I mean, let's see what happens with the Brewers. But, yeah, I mean, Bellinger's been the favorite from the start, the way he got off to the start. And as much as I like the teams in contention to have the MVP, Trout is just so much better than everybody else. He's having an unbelievable year. That it'd be hard not to give it to him, I think, this year, at least right now, anyway.
I got to run to the drugstore. I got to take back my sexual enhancement pills, Hart, because I don't want to fail my PED test tomorrow here at the radio station. So I got to run.
You get them at a gas station somewhere?
Yeah, I got those, you know, those enhancement pills I tried to sell you over at the ballpark that you didn't want any part of. And you're like, is someone watching us? And I'm like, just take the pills, Hart. And you ran the other way. I ate them all. I failed the PED test. Anyway, Harp, thanks for coming on the bench. Great stuff tonight. I'll catch up with you.
All right, great talking to you, Scotty.
By the way, the Cubs now lead 12-11 over the Giants. There he is, Harp, the great Harp. Pour him a harp. John Harper of SNY TV, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Carver, how you never told me who you think will win that thing. Will it be Bellinger or Yelich? Because, I mean, everyone loves Belly and all of his home runs and everything. But you got to be kidding me. This guy goes 50-30. If he goes 50-30, do you go with Yelich?
Look, I was going to bring this up to you before because it kind of ties into the Trout thing also. Harp had it right. If the Brewers in the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is, get on a little run, make the playoffs, yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Yelich over Bellinger. Look, I know that Trout is the absolute best player in baseball. He's unbelievable. He's having a monster season. But I'm sorry, I can't give MVP awards to guys on teams that are going to finish 12 games out of first or 15 games out of the playoffs. I can't do it, and I get it. You know, his team sucks.
So
who
would you give it to in the American League? I mean, Bregman?
It's tough, and this is why he's got such a good case, because there aren't that many.
Devers has had a great year, but they're going nowhere.
He's 16 games out of
right,
first
so
also.
They're going nowhere.
So I know that people have, you know, been pumping up DJ LeMahieu. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I don't think that DJ LeMahieu is the MVP of the American League.
Yeah, neither.
They've got so many guys that have contributed all year long to what's going on with the Yankees. I don't think you could pick one guy off the Yankees to win the MVP in the AL. So I get it. This could be a year we're fine. You want to give it to Trout? Here's what they should do then. This is like what the NHL does. You know, the NHL has the Hart Trophy, which goes to the MVP of the league.
Right.
And then they have that other award that goes to the most outstanding player or the best player in the league that McDavid wins every single year.
Right.
You know? Do that then. Give a best player or let the players vote like the –
And what is that called?
Else.
Like, you're losing me
that's
here.
That's the Ted Lindsay. Isn't that
the like
Lindsay
the Rocket
award?
Richard.
Well, that's for the most goals. But,
most goals.
But they give out a separate – they give out a most outstanding player award, and then they give out the MVP. Because, I'm sorry, I can't give the MVP to guys that are going to finish 15 to 20 games, you know, 10 to 15 games out of first. I just can't do it.
Right.
As monstrous as a year as he's having, I just can't. If the Brewers don't make the playoffs, so they fall a little short – I can't give it to Yelich. Is Yelich the best player in the National League this year? Absolutely he is. But is he the most valuable? Not if your team doesn't make the playoffs. How valuable is that?
Well, weren't we talking last night about, like, a guy called up, and I said they could still make it, the Brewers.
He was all about, their bullpen, and they can't get it. They can't get anybody out, which he's right about. But
they're winning tonight in St. Louis right now, 5-3 in the bottom of the eighth.
And I hope they catch the Cardinals, because, as you know, I can't stand the Cardinals, so – I hope that the Brewers or the Cubs, one of them, can take that division over St. Louis.
So, just so we are clear, the Brewers, the Cardinals have the lead in the Central by a half game over the Cubs, and the Brewers are four back. And then guys, when they realize they're not going to win the division, which is still wide open, four games is nothing. In September, you could do that in a week.
Absolutely.
I mean,
especially when you're going to, you know, I'm sure they play each other at some point. And
it's hard to do it in a week. I take that back.
Well, if you got a three or four, you know, you're playing a series or a couple back-to-back series with a team.
Fair enough. Or 2 weeks, you're talking about you could actually pull it off because, like, the Mets got that hot and everything else. But anyway, the wild card is a different story altogether. They're 3.5 out. So they're 4 out in one, 3.5 out in the other. But they had lost 3 in a row going into tonight. And they had gone 4-6-10. So they're not playing good baseball. The guy said, we got no pitching. We got no bullpen. And I'm not sure I believe all of that. But they're winning tonight, and Yelich is the reason that they're even in anything. We know that much. And then I'll say this. I got this Cub game on right now. It is insane, this baseball game. It's 12-11 Cubs in the bottom of the eighth. I think they called him out at home right here? Oh, that dude's safe. What'd you think, Marco? That dude's safe, without a doubt.
Looks like Schwarber got his foot
in. I mean,
yeah, he looks safe.
He's automatic safe. I mean, they're going to go to the replay. He's safe. That's not even a question. Boom, there he is, plated, before the guy even touches him. So, Anyway, it's a wild game. It's 12-11 at Wrigley, and they've, you know, I think they've racked up about 25 hits or something in this game. We've seen bigger hit games, but, I mean, this is an absolutely great. Can you imagine being at this game tonight? It's 13 hits apiece in this game, 12-11, bottom eight, play at the plate. I think that's going to make it 13-11, right, because they called him out, but they're going to end up calling him safe. I think they're going to call him safe. You don't think?
Called him out.
Oh, wait, they still called him out?
Yeah, they called him out.
Oh, come on. Well, come on.
It's Phil Cuzzy, so that makes sense.
But you got to be kidding me. Did you just see that? He got in there.
I thought it was in, too.
Oh, my God. He's safe. So it's 12-11 still. 14 hits for the Cubs, 13 hits for the Giants, but it's not over yet. The Giants still get a bat in the ninth, down a run, and stranger things have happened tonight, as the Mets. So I don't know what just happened in that Dodger game. I think somebody hit a home run. It's one zip Dodgers. I'm watching that game as well. Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, now playing for the Dodgers. Unbelievable. With a home run. And then another one. No, is that just a gap shot? Oh, there's a ball to the wall. They're going to be an inside of back. They're going to be rounding the bank. They're going to go for three. Going to wave him home. An inside of back. Going to be a play to play. Going to be who? Boy, was he nailed at the plate. How great was that? The guy goes for the inside the park job and gets thrown out. That was beautiful, wasn't it, Marco? What'd you
think
of that?
Relay. Chris Taylor. Wow, he was out of gas at the end there. That's a hell of a nice throw, though.
Great throw. The outfielders collided. Oh, there's all kinds of. I haven't been this excited watching 5 minutes of baseball in 5 years.
Well, give it a minute, though, because they're going to replay. They're going to check to see if he's safe or out.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding.
But he was dead to rights at home plate. But you can't tell me Schwarber wasn't safe.
I thought Schwarber got the leg in.
He definitely got the leg in. They looked at it for
10 minutes, and they came back. I guess it's not conclusive enough.
That guy's
Taylor
out.
Taylor looks out, but you never know until you really – did he get the tag?
That guy's –
he might have missed him.
Oh, no, he's out. He's got to be out. Come on. He's out.
Yeah.
He never touched the plate either.
He's out easy.
He's out. He's out. The other guy was safe. I thought Schwarber was safe.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Well, you might as well just get it over with and sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com because college football starts Saturday with the Canes and Gators, plus that Arizona-Hawaii game. Very exciting. Next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all filled with college football games. All season long, you're going to want my college plays. I'm better than everybody, and everybody knows it. Pro football, are you kidding me? I'm going to rack it up for you. It's that simple. And it's the cheapest handicapping site in the world, 35. You got to love it. Everyone's going to be signing up and rocking it because all I do is hit winners. Every game, every play, every day, everything that's on a board, baseball through the World Series, boxing, MMA, every big fight, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. Did you see this story about Mario Williams? You remember him? He was the former number one draft pick in the NFL back in the day. He played in Buffalo, right, for a while. Did they like him there?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the, you know, the first time in a long time, a really huge free agent coming to the Bills in his prime.
Yeah, 6'7", 290. He made four Pro Bowls, three All-Pro teams. He signed a six-year, $54 million rookie deal. After that, he signed a $100 million contract in 2012 with the Bills with $25 million guaranteed. He last played with the Dolphins in 2016, so he's not playing anymore. He's got to – if you make that kind of money, don't you still have to have some of it? I mean, honest to God, seriously. What did he – $154 million?
He has to have money. I mean
– my God. How do you blow through that?
I mean, what happened here, it doesn't involve money.
It doesn't involve money, but you start wondering –
he didn't blow through any of this.
Well, he looks – they say he's crazy, allegedly.
He's crazy, but that doesn't mean he was bad with his money.
It doesn't mean he's bad with his money. You're right. But I'm just saying, I wonder what his status is because this story says he gained access to his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, the baby mama, right? She had his kid. Gained access to her pad by the garage, by making a copy of the garage door opener using a universal garage door opener. He was arrested on trespass, booked into Harris County Jail. This is in Houston, I believe. He was released. They have footage of him. He confronted the mother of his child inside her apartment. The standoff was intense. He's 34 now, banging on the front door. Woman wouldn't let him in. He went through the garage. The footage shows a woman confronting him at the garage door entry. A heated exchange. He accuses her of using their child's iPad to gain access to the contents of his iCloud, and she denies that. The woman demands that he leaves. How did you get in here? He said a cop let him in. As the two continue to fight, he calls 911 to say that she stole from his iCloud a break-in, an iCloud break-in. And then he describes the woman as his ex-girlfriend. The cops showed up, and they said, "We know who you are." They said that they had a relationship for years. They've been separated for months. It's not going well, allegedly. He was cooperative with police, and now he's going back to court. The woman in the incident has a child with him. Unclear if they're – it says they're broken up, but who knows. Bottom line, Williams broke into the home, began yelling at the woman who lives there. She's very emotional, screamed at him to get out, a whole scene. And now the records show Williams has been ordered to undergo a mental health and intellectual disability assessment. That's an evaluation to see if you're crazy in Portuguese. The woman has had previous restraining orders against him. Listen, he's got a lot of problems with her, but if he's still got that money, he doesn't
have
any
problems. She doesn't like him very much.
It sounds like.
I mean, that seems to be the way you can kind of decipher from this whole situation.
But, like, you got to see the video of him going crazy. Like, he calls the cops and tells them. She did an iCloud break-in. Is there such a thing? You can rob somebody. I got an iCloud break-in. Rotter, Rotter, you got a Rotter iCloud break-in on the south side. Rotter 20. What do you do with that? His mugshot's clean, too. You got to check him out. I have seen it all, Carver High. Oh, if they had him on the Bills defense again, a young Mario Williams, they would be a playoff contender.
Their defense is fine.
They'd be even better with him if he was young and back there fresh.
They had him in his prime. They didn't win with him.
Well, they would this time. Now he's crazy. You got to get him crazy before you put him out there.
He's in good shape.
So I got to ask you, Baker Mayfield, he's in the news every day here on the bench. So he's
moving into Brady territory.
Getting it every day.
Nightly story. Something different every night.
Brady's every day of the year, though.
Yeah.
Mayfield's only, August to January, and maybe not that long either. You have to, we'll see how far they go. If they're not going to make the playoffs, we'll stop talking about him. I can guarantee it. But if they make the playoffs, you'll be talking about him into January. Anyway, he allegedly reached out to Daniel Jones, and he said, "It seemed very disrespectful. I can understand that. But what people didn't realize, the conversation entailed of me saying I was surprised I was drafted number one, and then me going on a rant after that about quarterback evaluation, the frustration from the college recruiting process. And it had nothing to do with Daniel specifically about the winning and stuff." He said Jones was nice, cordial, and said, "Don't worry about it, man. No worries." Mayfield said he was initially confused about the backlash from the GQ article. And that's the only reason I addressed it. To me, it came back on my character. I don't care about a lot of opinions, if you like me or not. But that looked at like my character was out of line. So that's the only reason I addressed it. And I don't, frankly, believe that either. I think the reason he addressed it is, and I said this last night, is that he broke the code, right? He broke the code. You don't go out and slam other guys that play in the league, in the union, for another team or your own team. You just don't do it. You worry about your own business. That's it. He said, "If I had a problem with someone, I'm pretty sure I made it clear. I'll say I have a problem with someone." He's got all the answers now for why he did it. But the reality is, I think, in my opinion, anyone that makes a bunch of excuses you know, the day of, the day after, and they, you know, call the guy.
Happened 4 months ago.
All the excuses. You just know he's lying. It's just he's busted. And so he's trying to get out of it by talking his way out of it.
You know guys, what happened here.
Guys that talk too much talk their way out of everything, or they're guilty of something. They'll spend 4 days talking about it, like, so everyone can get you know, to grips with the fact that they did it. He did this. He did slam him. Then he called. Why would you call the guy if you didn't do it? You called him because you did do it.
Because he sat in the steakhouse with the guy 4 months ago. He made a comment that he probably thought that the guy wasn't going to put in the article. It's that simple. He probably thought, I'm sitting here having a steak with this guy. We're talking about the Browns.
Right, right.
And out of nowhere, he looks to his side and sees the Giants on the TV, and he throws the guy a little comment about Daniel Jones. Probably didn't think it would have anything to do with the article. And sure enough, four months later, he finds out, boom, you said it. You know, you just didn't think it was going to get printed. It's
right,
that simple.
Right.
You learned another lesson of being a quarterback in the NFL. Go take a page out of Brady's book. You think if Brady's sitting in a steakhouse with some writer, he's going to do something like that?
No.
No shot. I think Drew Brees, all these guys that have been around a long time, they know who they could say what to and at what times. And Baker hasn't gotten that yet, and he just learned a lesson. When I'm sitting at a steakhouse with a writer for anybody, and I see something on the TV, even that, making a comment about that.
Shut your mouth.
That can get put into that story. And it could come back and be made a big deal about. At the end of the day, did he say anything that's that earth-shattering?
No.
No, he didn't. But it's just the fact that, you know, he got caught saying something that he didn't think was going to get printed. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think you're right, without a doubt. Now, Le'Veon Bell doesn't agree with Antonio Brown's handling of the helmet saga. Here's another case of a guy crossing over the river. You know, why do these guys find it so important or imperative to get involved in other guys' business? Opening your mouth about it. Le'Veon Bell, how much does he have to do with Antonio Brown now? Besides nothing.
Zero.
Absolutely less than zero. So his days of Antonio Brown and you know, Le'Veon are over. They're over. They're not playing together anymore. And I don't even care if the Steelers play the Raiders this year, next year, whatever. Or Jets, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not on the same team. You're not teammates. You might be buddies off the field, but I don't understand why you open your mouth about that guy's problems. You know what I mean? Hasn't he had his own fair share of problems? He missed football for a year. Now he's not, you know, doing anything. He's at training camp. No one's allowed to touch him. Did you hear him say today that somebody needs to hit him finally?
Yeah, he wants to take a hit. He wants to, because, you know, this guy hasn't played in a year.
And they won't even let him get hit?
Jets Raiders on November 24th this year.
Oh, so he does get to play his
buddy.
But,
I mean, they don't even play. They're both on offense. They're both on the side. One's on the sideline. One's on the field. It's not like an offense-defense thing where somebody gets to, you know, take a hit at somebody, you know.
They might be able to say hi to each other in warm-ups.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to say hi in warm-ups.
And they're going to show it on ESPN.
And they're going to get a little hug at the end of the game, at the middle of the field. You know, that's
But they're going to show it on ESPN for
like
an hour.
Of course, you're watching all those great, you know, pregame shows. They'll show the two of them on the field.
Maybe
Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
How about in literally the slowest slow motion NFL style, NFL films in slow motion, like one literally millisecond an hour.
And one guy will look at each other for a nanosecond in a way that is going to get analyzed. He doesn't like this guy.
Break it down.
Enough. Just enough. But you're probably, this is the same thing as Baker. Just did he go out there today, Le'Veon Bell, to talk about Antonio Brown? No, he probably didn't. But did one of the dopey reporters probably say to him,
Brought it up.
What do you think of this Antonio Brown thing? So he decided to speak his mind instead of saying, hey, Antonio's got to do his thing.
Well, it's probably because he's not doing anything.
Same,
he's bored.
Same situation. Did Le'Veon Bell say anything that's really that outrageous? No, most of us think the same thing that he does. Shut up and play the game.
So I'm seeing here that it looks as though there's a lot of action. Did you see Roger Federer was in New York today, and he got, like, just absolutely, they cascaded on him, like, thousands of
fans.
Ready
for the Open, right? Starts Monday?
I mean, he got out of that limo, like, I mean, honestly, it was like Elvis getting out of a limo. Literally, the guy was bombarded with thousands of fans. They went crazy for Federer. And then they showed all these other ones, like Serena was out in New York. So they're all here now, right? And they're getting ready for the U.S. Open. They're getting attention, but nothing compared to Roger Federer. Oh, my God. The guy got – he just got mobbed. It was a mob scene. He was in the Big Apple, and these fans just went crazy for him. And I don't know where he was. He was outside some store, and, I mean, you got to see it to believe it. The guy just got absolutely – I mean, there were – people just going crazy for him. It was like pretty insane. You would think that seriously, like these tennis players could walk right down the street and no one would know him.
Not Federer, not Djokovic, and Nadal. Those three guys don't.
And Serena.
And speaking of that, you had a story in there about how the ump. Remember last year she got into that big fight.
Right.
I don't know if you want to save that for Cliff in the Blue Lagoon hour or whatever you want to do, but I mean, can you imagine if like. You know, the now did she ask for that umpire not to be, or was that a decision that the WTA or the USTA made? Who made that decision?
Cliff Drysdale checking in. I'm very busy. I don't have time for this, but I will tell you, Ramos will not officiate the matches involving Serena or Venus because, frankly, Pharrell, the Williams family hates Carlos Ramos.
But did they ask for that, or is that a decision that the USTA made or whoever?
The USTA... Kavahai has decided there are over 900 other matches, and Carlos for this year will not be in a chair for the Williams sisters' matches. They want the attention of the competition to be on the athletes and not the officials.
I think that's dumb.
Remember, Williams clashed with Ramos during her loss in the final to Naomi Osaka during the U.S. Open final last year. Ruining Osaka's championship, Williams' debacle and meltdown, distracting from Osaka's great moments. We're looking forward to the U.S. Open in Flushing at the Arthur Ashe, Pharrell. And Kavahai, I hope you're coming over to see some tennis. Cliff Drysdale on the Pharrell Radio program.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.